You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
We're going to continue with our message series today called Pray. And in this series, the message for today, the focus today, is on the word capacity. Everybody say capacity with me. Capacity is going to be a key word today. Now, we've been talking about praying big and praying specific, right? Remember, that was week one. We talked about pray big, pray specific. I hope some of you have been praying specific prayers. On Wednesday night, we came in here and we decided we were going to pray big and specific prayers. We all got note cards. Man, we were writing down big and specific prayers on our note cards, and we began to call out to God for those big, specific prayers. And some of us are still waiting on those note cards for those things to happen. And so we're believing for those big and specific prayers. And then last week we talked about praying in unity, that there is power when you are in unity and you pray for unity, right? We talked about in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came down and filled the people with power, but only after they prayed together with one mind and one heart. And so today we're going to be talking, we're going to take a little bit different twist on it. And we want to kind of discover a little bit of how do we get a prayer answered. How many of you would like your prayers to be answered? Okay, some of y'all do want your prayers answered. That's great. Others of you apparently don't care. You're just like, yeah, whatever. I don't pray to start with, so it don't matter if he answers them or not. That's cool. Hey, we're all starting somewhere. And so it's important for us, some of us, it's important for us to get our prayers answered. And to discover how to do that, we're going to look at a guy named Jabez. A, because he's got a cool name, and B, just because he got his prayer answered in the Bible, and so I want to focus on what he did. Now, here's the thing about getting a prayer answered. I truly believe in praying big prayers, but I also believe in praying realistic prayers, right? How many of you ever pray these prayers, or you heard somebody pray these prayers that are just absolutely unrealistic? Like, when I was a kid, I used to pray, you know, after I stopped growing when I was, like, in, you know, fifth grade or something. I don't know. I stopped growing at some point. I just stuck at like 5'10". This is it. But man, I used to pray, God, just stretch me out. Like tonight while I'm sleeping, please make me 6'2". You know what I mean? Or whatever the case was. And I used to pray these unrealistic prayers. You pray unrealistic prayers. I'm going to tell you, everybody in this room probably at some point has prayed a prayer that God absolutely will not answer without just a huge miracle that I'm not even sure God can do. Right? Prayer's like, really? God can't? Well, like whenever you sit down in front of your McDonald's and you say, God bless this food and nourish it to my body, God's probably looking at that McDonald's saying, I'm not touching that. You know, like, that's not real food. Those aren't real chickens that made those nuggets, right? And so God's like, I can't bless what's not real. And so we pray unrealistic prayers. We pray unrealistic prayers. And sometimes we just pray those out of memory, right? So it's important for us today to figure out how to pray in a manner that will get our prayers answered. And so I want to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Now, I'm reading this out of the New King James Version of the Bible. I don't know that... Oh, man, look at Matthew. Man, you're good back there. Matthew or Kim, somebody. I'll give Kim the credit because she's prettier than he is. Well, that's not saying much. She's a woman, so women should always be prettier than men. Doobie, it's not really a cut down. I would hope that women are prettier than men. Amen, men? Otherwise, we got a problem, fellas. If you're prettier than your spouse, then, yeah, we need to pray for you. 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Let's read it real quick. It says, now Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. Reminds me a lot of myself. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in pain. And Jabez called on the Lord God of Israel, saying, oh, that you would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain. And look at this last one. So God granted him what he requested. Would you like to have that at the end of every one of your prayers? Like if they recorded my prayers in a book, I would love for the end sentence to be, and God granted Gabriel what he requested. That's the key. That's what we want today. So I want to look at a couple of things. Number one, the Bible says that Jabez called on God. He called on God. It does not say he whispered to God. It does not say he thought to God. It said he called on God. That's out loud prayer. Some of y'all are looking at me like, what? show up on Wednesday nights. I get on to people if they just sit in their chair and do nothing. If we're going to pray, we're going to pray. When I talk to my wife, I want my wife to tell me something. I don't want her to think something of me, just expect it to happen. Right? That's called confusion, and I'm not a mind reader. So I don't want my wife just thinking stuff. I want my wife to talk to me. And God wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to verbalize what it is that's in your heart already. Sometimes we think that I can get by with praying, just thinking my prayers. And you probably can. But sometimes you need to hear yourself say what you're saying to God. It's important that we call out to God. Another version of the Bible says He cried out to God. And that shows me this, that sometimes our prayers come from a heart of desperation. They don't just come from me thinking about something or me wondering something, but it comes from some place deep down inside, some place of passion that we have to have. And let me ask you something. In your prayer life, is there ever that moment when you call out to God, when you cry out to God, or is it just always sitting down saying, God bless this food and nurse it to my body? If you're eating McDonald's, you need to be passionate about that prayer. Maybe God will answer it. Bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. Now, this is the next thing that's important for you to see, and we're going to hang out here for a few minutes because I think this is kind of the key to what we want to achieve. He says, bless me indeed and enlarge my territory. To be blessed indeed is different than being blessed. See, we're all blessed. The fact that you showed up this morning, the fact that you got clothes on your back, the fact that you either drove here or somebody drove you here means you're blessed. I was driving past somebody the other day that was sitting on the side of the road with a sign, you know, begging for food, begging for money, begging for stuff. Unless you're out there, you're blessed. And even that guy had clothes on his back. He had some mode of transportation to get to the corner to beg for money. We're all blessed at some point. Question is, are you blessed indeed? Are you blessed indeed? Are you blessed for sure? Are you blessed with a blessing that is irreversible? Are you blessed with a blessing that is incorruptible? Are you blessed with something that's not going to fade away? What is your blessing today? And I think sometimes we ask God for blessings and we think God's not giving me my blessings, but sometimes He is blessing you. You're just not ready to receive the blessing and therefore you're not blessed indeed. An indeed blessing is a blessing that you can receive. It's a blessing that you can catch. My son plays football, flag football. And in playing flag football, last year he got to be the quarterback. Very much by mistake, the other quarterback didn't show up the day of the game. And the coach said, nobody else has practiced at quarterback. Hey, Gabriel, give it a try. I think it's because he was the last one to get there. And so the coach throws him in at quarterback. And when Gabriel and I are throwing, he throws it pretty good. Like, he really does have a decent arm. Now, he can't throw it 50 yards downfield. If he could at 10 years old, I'd definitely have him in the NFL. But he can't throw it 50 yards downfield, but he can throw it pretty good. And so when he throws it to me, you know, he pops it in there. And I watched him in the game, and Gabriel is out there just running, and he'd go, just kind of, oh, just float it. And I realize it's because he's got all these little kids on his team that have never played football, and he's bouncing them off their face and hitting them in the chest. They can't catch the ball. And the reason they can't catch it, they're just not good at it. And so Gabriel is like trying to just go as easy as he can. And I said, buddy, what are you doing? Throw the ball. He said, Dad, they can't catch it when I throw it. I keep hurting them. He hit a kid in the throat last week in practice. The kid left practice crying, going, because Gabriel hit him in the throat with the pass. And I'm just saying, you've got to be able to catch what God is giving you. And we keep on whining about not getting the ball as a receiver, and God's saying, I keep trying to get it to you, but you can't catch it, so at some point, I'm going to throw it to someone else. And it's important for you to understand we've got to be able to receive what God has for us. Now, I want you to look at Haggai. We don't ever talk about Haggai, just because it's a hard name to pronounce, maybe. Haggai chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Now, listen to this. It says, now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. What Haggai is saying here is super important for us today. Because he says, consider your ways. The word ways there literally means your lifestyle, your actions, your choices. And so what God's saying through Haggai is he's saying this. He said, hey, I want you to go back, reflect on, look at the way you're living your life, the steps you are taking, the actions that you are doing, the thoughts that you have. I want you to reflect on what you're doing. And it says, consider your ways. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And this is the key one. Listen to this. And he who earns wages does so to put them in a bag with holes. Puts them in a bag with holes. Have you ever had a pocket with a hole in it? And you're walking along, and all of a sudden, you feel that quarter sliding down your leg, right? I've done that before. I put stuff in my pockets where I've got a hole in them, and I'll just be walking along, and all of a sudden, things are just running down my leg. I don't know what's happening, right? And then I shake my leg, and all this money falls out. It's like magic pants, but in reality, I got a hole in my pocket. And God's saying, there's some of you that to invest in you is like putting money in a purse with a hole in it. You get it, but you lose it. You have it, but you can't hold on to it. It's important for us to be able to receive, to contain what God is giving us. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, in Malachi chapter 3, the Bible says that, you know, we're going to be blessed, and it's going to be such a blessing that we cannot contain it. There's a difference in having a hole and having overflow. If you want to be blessed today, you should be blessed to overflowing. Your blessing should be overflowing, and you should be a blessing to other people, but not because you have lack. You should always bless others out of overflow. You should always bless others. I had a great-grandfather or great-uncle that used to always take his coffee cup and put it in the saucer, and he would fill the coffee cup up until it overflowed into the saucer. And then he would take the cup and the saucer and hold it up and sip out of the saucer. And my dad was like, what in the world are you doing, you crazy old man? But the idea is this, whenever it overflowed, and this has nothing to do with the message, but I think it's, in case some of you need to know how to do this, that part in the saucer cooled off quicker, so while you're waiting on the cup to cool off, you just sip it out of the saucer. That's so weird, I know, but it worked. I might try that if I ever start drinking coffee. Probably won't. And so we want to operate out of overflow. When I preach, I want to preach out of overflow. I don't want to preach out of something I just got today. And that's why sometimes you'll hear me say, I've got a message for later. The reason I've got a message for later is because I want God to speak to me here, and then I want that to begin to boil up inside of me like a crock pot. I want it to cook, and I want it to stew, and I want it to be prepared so that I can share it later. But if all I'm giving you is exactly what I'm getting today, then it's just flowing in and out of me. I want to operate out of overflow. I want to let that word that God put in me, that blessing that God put in me, I want it to begin to marinate and begin to work inside of me. And there's blessings that God has for you that need to be working inside of you. There's a calling that God has for you that needs to be working inside of you. It needs to be cooking. It needs to be boiling. There are financial blessings. We talked about finances last month. Financial blessings. Look, your finances should be operating in overflow. Like, you want to bless people out of overflow. Now, most of us don't. Most of us operate week to week, paycheck to paycheck. But at the end of the day, we want, our desire is to be overflowing. And your level of overflow may be different than somebody else's level of overflow. There may be some people overflowing like $100 bills. You may be overflowing pennies. You know what I mean? Like, we all overflow something. But we need to operate out of a level of overflow. And I want you to look at this. He says this, enlarge my territory. And this is the thing that I think is important. He's saying, I want you to enlarge my capacity. Enlarge my capacity. Sometimes we wonder why I don't get that raise. I don't get that promotion. Well, why is it that I've never gotten this thing that I keep searching for? It may be that you need to enlarge your capacity today. I want you to look with me to 2 Kings chapter 4. And there's this really neat story out of 2 Kings chapter 4. And it's all about this idea. Before we read it, I want you to hear this thought. God will fill whatever vessel you bring Him. God's in the business of filling things up. The Bible says in the book of Acts, He filled them with His Holy Spirit, right? God wants to fill you personally. He wants to fill everything. God wants to fill you up to overflowing. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit inside of you is like a river of living water flowing out of you. So God wants to fill you up to overflowing. But the thing is, sometimes our level of overflow, our level of capacity dictates how much we get. You come to God with a thimble, He'll fill up a thimble. You come to Him with a 50-gallon drum, He'll fill up a 50-gallon drum. It all depends on what you're going to bring Him. And Jabez said, I don't have much. I need my capacity, my storage capabilities, right? I need them enlarged. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha. Elisha's kind of the head honcho of all the prophets. So she comes to Elisha and cries out. Remember, Jabez cried out, didn't he? Jabez cried out to God and said, I need you to do something. This woman's crying out to Elijah saying, I need you to do something. She says, your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. And Elijah said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors, empty vessels and not too few. In other words, what he's saying is, go get as many empty jars as you can find. I want you, he doesn't even say jars, he says vessels. In other words, he's saying, go find buckets, cups, bottles, anything you can get it. Go dump out somebody's flowers and take the vase, right? Like, get whatever you can find and bring it into your house. And he says, not too few. He says, go in and shut the door behind yourself, and you and your sons pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought vessels to her. In other words, she takes the one jar she's got and she pours and pours and pours until she fills up a vessel. They take that vessel out and she starts pouring another one. She just continues to pour. You see the miracle happening here. In other words, her original jar never ran out. Every time it was like one of those magic bottles. Every time you turn it over and put it back, it fills right back up. You seen those baby bottles that do that? No, you don't know. Okay, I see them all the time. I guess I got too many kids. And then it says, so she went from him, shut the door behind her, and as she poured, they brought vessels to her. And when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there's not another. Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on the rest. The oil stopped flowing at the point when she didn't have any more jars. Sometimes we start saying, God, I need you to bless me. I need you to bless me. I need a new job. I need a new this. I need money. I need something to do with the relationship. And God's saying, how many jars do you have? Like, I will fill up as many jars as you have. That's why we did a whole series on tithing. Why did we talk about tithing? Because I feel like tithing is one of those financial jars that you need in your life. And so we start complaining about not having any money, not being blessed financially, but whenever we go to God, we don't have any jars for Him to fill up. There's some folks in here that started tithing. I heard somebody tell me the other day, I already pointed at people, but now you don't know which one I'm pointing at. And so somebody came up to me the other day like, Pastor, I started tithing the other day. You did that series on tithing, so I decided to start tithing. And he said, I gave my tithe, and when I looked at what I gave, I thought, oh God, how am I going to make it through the week? Like, he just wasn't ready for that commitment, you know. So he gave and then just said, God, I'm putting it in your hands. It's up to you. And then all of a sudden, in the mail, he gets a check from the government, from some kind of lawsuit thing, whatever, IRS, somebody. They send him a check for like $512 and I don't know how many cents. I know that much because I looked at the check. He's like, I didn't even cash it yet. I want you to see it. And so I looked at the check and I was like, this is awesome, great story. And the idea was that God blessed him. He said, I didn't even expect this check. I didn't expect this check. A, the government never gives you money back. And B, I just didn't expect to get any money. But I gave my tithe and all of a sudden, this is the money that's going to get me through the week. All of a sudden, God blessed him. I was talking to somebody else. This doesn't have to do with tithe. It does have to do with generosity. And I believe generosity is the other thing. We talked in that series. It wasn't all about tithe. Tithe is a jar, but then you got another jar called generosity that goes above and beyond your tithe. It's a lifestyle. And there's this idea of generosity that's another jar. If you're wanting a financial blessing, you need more jars in your life. And I have a friend of mine, Mike Hyde. Mike has been in the hospital. He was in the hospital for like over 2 weeks. in the hospital. And while he was in the hospital, his wife, Terry, kept having to go downstairs to the cafeteria to get lunch. And she was paying like, I don't know, like $5, $6, $7 a meal, whatever it was. And she just said, you know, I can't keep buying meals here, you know, but I got to be with my husband. And so one day they brought the food, and Mike just said, man, I love their food. It was really good. And I really liked the girl that kept bringing my food to me. So one day he's like, Terry, give me some money. And she's like, all I got is a $5 bill. He's like, give me that $5 bill. And she's like, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to give it to her as a tip. She's like, you don't tip people in the hospital, Mike. Like, that's not what you do. He's like, you be quiet. I want to tip somebody. I want to bless her for what she's doing. So he gives her the $5 bill and says, look, I just want to thank you so much for you know, taking care of us and being so kind to us. And the lady was very appreciative of the $5. And the amount of money isn't important. It's the idea of generosity. You know, the next time she brought a meal up, Mike said, you know how they put the little covers over the food in the hospital? If you've ever been in the hospital, you know they all have the same plastic cover, right? And so she puts the plastic cover on, and Mike said the plastic cover's like this. Like, it cannot contain all the food that woman dumped in that thing. She had put so much food in there, it was enough for Mike and Terry to eat. And he said every meal from that point forward, they doubled the food supply, and Terry never bought another meal at the hospital. One small jar of generosity was able to overflow a blessing that those guys couldn't, that the plate could not contain. Amen? And so that overflow blessing. So we need to understand the more jars we have. One of the things we're looking at right now, I'm praying big prayers for this church. Now, we may look around today, we may say, wow, we're kind of spotty today. Like, there's some folks out, and I know there's folks out on vacation, and we're trying to get back in the swing of things, school starting back up. I get it. But we start looking around, and I'm praying, I'm saying, God, I'm expecting big things. August the 30th is our dedication service. That's our big day when we are going to not only dedicate this place to God, we're going to dedicate ourselves to God on August the 30th. And then the next week, we're going to do water baptism. That's going to be fun. I can't wait. We're going to do it right outside. We're going to be dunking people, and people will be pulling up, driving. I love it. So we're going to do water baptism next week. But the first week, we're going to do that. And I started thinking. I thought, God, if what I want, you give me as far as filling up this house, we don't have enough jars to contain it. And God began to show me that the other day. He said, you need to pray for your capacity to be expanded. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. If people started filling up our parking lot, what would we do with them? Who would park them? We need more leaders. We need more people that are going to get out there and help park. What if we filled up all the children's ministry? What if we had 30 babies show up on a Sunday morning? We don't have enough bodies over there to do it. And what we've got is we've got some of the same people doing it over and over and over. They're not going to keep doing that. We have got to expand our capacity. We need more jars. And what God was showing me the other day is jars for us as leadership. Jars for us as leadership. And part of that's on me to continue to prepare you, to continue to help you. But we need to expand our capacity if we want God to bless us. God will only give us what we can contain. You may not hunt, but I like to hunt. And I'm a very frugal hunter. In other words, we don't waste. So whatever we shoot, we eat, right? And I like it because it fills up my freezer. And so whenever I'm hunting, I hate to waste, and so we will take that deer, and immediately you have to clean the deer. Like, it's a time-sensitive situation. You clean the deer, you take the deer to the processor, you put it in the cooler, whatever it is that you do with that deer. Now look, if you waste your time or you are not prepared, and only once in my life have I ever not been prepared. So you got to make sure when you go hunting, for me, I've got to make sure that it's not all about just having the gun. It's not all about having bullets. It's not all about hiding in the tree and seeing the deer. It's about, am I prepared for what's going to happen later? Am I prepared to go clean that deer, to put that deer in the cooler? Do I have room? Do I have capacity? One time in my life have I ever not had the capacity, and the deer spoiled. I was not prepared to clean the deer, and it was a waste. It was a waste of my time. It was a waste of a deer. That was a lot of meat I could have eaten. Could have fed my family, and I wasted. And sometimes God's looking at us and he's saying, I send people, like pastors will pray, God, give us people, God, give us people. Give us souls to be saved. And we get in here on Wednesday nights and we pray, God, send people that need to give their heart to Jesus Christ. Send us to unchurched. Send us people that don't know you. And then God says, I've been sending them to you, but you keep letting them slip out and do nothing with them. If you're not going to disciple them, if you're not going to plug them in, if you're not going to use them, if you're not going to help them, they're going to just keep walking out and it's like spoiled meat. It's wasted. We can't keep praying and asking God to fill this place up if we're not ready to receive what he gives us. We got to be ready. We got to expand our territory, expand our capacity to receive what God has. Sometimes we start praying, God, give me a new job, and God's looking at you saying, I would love to give you that new job, but you're not ready for it. You're not mentally ready. You're not ready to wake up early. You're not ready to go to bed late. You're not ready to talk to people like a man or talk to people like a woman. You're still operating on your emotions and your feelings, and I'm not ready for you to have that promotion or that new job. Sometimes we're asking God about a relationship, and God's saying, I can't give you a woman if you're still taking people out to eat at places where they don't bring you the food. We got to make sure that you are ready. Expand your capacity to receive what God has for you. Expand your capacity. How do we do that? Well, look at the next thing he says. He says, keep your hand with me and keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. This brings us, we've been talking about Paul's prayers. It brings me to Paul's prayer, and this is where we'll start closing today. But Paul prayed a prayer in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 through 10. And it says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. Paul says this, my prayer for you is that your love would expand, that you would have more capacity to love, more capacity to love God, more capacity to love people, that your territory would be expanded when it comes to the area of love. Sometimes we harbor unforgiveness. We harbor bitterness. We harbor, well, God didn't answer that prayer, so therefore I just don't trust God anymore. God, you know, I prayed for my grandma and she died. Look, man, Wednesday night, we got in here, we prayed hard for a friend of Perry's, a lady whose kid is in my daughter's class. We prayed hard for that lady, man. We're crying out to God for her life. She had cancer. And she passed away. She passed away. Now, some people would get bitter at God, and they would say, well, I prayed, and you didn't answer my prayer. Sometimes God answers prayers, and he just doesn't answer them the way you like it. And we get upset, and then our capacity for love begins to shrink. But Paul says, I want your capacity to love to enlarge, to expand. And then he starts saying, with all knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and be pure and blameless. How do you expand your territory? How do you expand your capacity? Well, you do it the way that these guys did. You love. The Jabez said, God, let your hand be with me. That was a sign of relationship. A sign of relationship. He's basically saying, walk with me. Keep your hand on me. Walk with me with your hand around me. Jabez is saying, God, I want my relationship with you to not fail. And sometimes what we have is we have a very shallow relationship with the Father. And what we need is a very deep relationship, a closer walk with God. And then Jabez says, and look, my mama named me Pain, but I reject my past. I reject what everybody says about me. I reject what I may have done in my past that the enemy keeps trying to bring up in my life that keeps me from expanding my territory, that keeps me from doing... Look, as a church, I reject those people that told us we couldn't do this. I reject the past whenever people... And I'm not saying, no, there's haters and I'm against the haters and all that kind of mess. No, I could care less. But the fact is, if I sit down and I listen to all the critics, if I listen to all the people that have told me I couldn't do it all throughout the years, then I would get focused on that. And if Jabez sat down and he started listening to what his mama said about him. Sometimes we say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I can't walk blameless, like Paul said, because of my past. You haven't seen what I've done. You haven't seen what my parents did. I was born I was born into this lifestyle. Jabez says, I reject all that mess. He says, God, not only do I want you to set me free from my own sin and keep me from that mess, but today I don't even want to cause anybody pain. I don't want that to be who I am anymore. I want a new DNA. And that's exactly what God wants to do for you. The Bible says that God granted his request. There's a translation of that story of Jabez that says, expand my territory. And there's a little tag on the end of that, that when the Chaldeans begin to translate the Bible, that they saw in there, and it says, expand my territory and fill it with disciples. Jabez was fighting for property. They were cleaning out the Canaanites to take over Israel. And he said, God, I want you to expand my territory, but not just by killing folks. I want to expand my influence and turn people into disciples. My prayer for you, my prayer for this church is, God, let us expand our territory, but let us fill it with disciples. Let us fill it with people that are going to serve you and love you and change their world for Jesus Christ. I pray for you today that God would expand your territory and fill it with disciples, because I believe each and every one of you needs to be telling somebody something about God, about life, about how to grow, how to change. In the book of, if you look back in 1 Chronicles, the Bible says that there was a city called Jabez. And that city called Jabez was full of scribes. It was a city of scribes. In other words, it was essentially like a university. And what that was, is that was a place where people came and they learned and they were able to be discipled and they were able to write. They learned how to write. They learned how to copy. And that's how the word of God was spread, because they had to take it. They didn't have printers back in those days or copy machines. And so they would take the word of God and they would send it like to a city like Jabez, and the scribes would begin to write it down. They would begin to copy it down and send it off. Copy it down and send it off. God answered his prayer. He said, God, I want disciples. I don't want to just kill people. I want disciples. I want a place where we can change lives. And he had a city that was focused on spreading the word, a city that was focused on teaching people and raising people up. Let me end today with this verse, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, talking about God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Jabez wasn't praying, God, I want to be glorified. God, I want all the power and all the influence. Jabez was saying, God, I want you to expand my capacity to tell people about you. Expand my capacity to reach the lost. There's some of you, look, God wants you to give you that promotion. God wants to put you in that new job. God wants to put you in a place of influence. But not so that you can just have influence. Not so that you can get more money or be more famous. God wants to put you in a place so that you can influence him, influence people for Jesus. But we keep thinking it's about me, and God keeps saying, I can't put you in this place until you expand your capacity, you expand your love, your relationship with me, that it's no longer about you, it's always about him. God will never grow this church beyond our capacity to say, God, it's not about us as a church. It's not about us being on TV. It's not about us being on the internet. It's not about us being a mega church and having 30 services. It's always about winning people for you. It's always about making disciples. And I truly believe whenever we get that mindset, that it changes who we are. And now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, Pastor, let me go get in the parking lot and park somebody. Why? Because I want to make disciples. It's not about me. It's not about me being comfortable in church. It's not about me hearing a message. It's about somebody else. I was talking to the guys the other day, some of the leaders, and I said, guys, I don't know what we would do. Like, I hesitate to even say this, but I'm praying that God would send. We're sending out flyers all over the neighborhood. I'm praying that God would send 200 people here on the 30th. I don't know what we would do with 200 people. And it's so funny, like some of our leaders, they were like, well, Pastor, man, we can start putting chairs in the bathroom. Like, we'll put chairs everywhere, and then we'll stand up. Like, we won't even, they said, you stand up the whole service, we'll stand up the whole service. Like, we don't even care, because it's not about us anymore. It's about who can we win. And it's not about getting people that go to other churches. They can stay in their churches. It's about getting people that don't go to church at all. And when you have that mindset, sometimes we get this mindset of, well, I got to get these people from this church, and oh, my church is better than your church. You need to come hear my pastor. I don't think anybody's saying that one, but we need to come. And whenever we think that way, it becomes competitive. And now we start comparing our church to someone else's. But when we start saying it's about winning lost people that don't know Jesus Christ at all, that don't go to church anywhere, then it's all about them and not about us anymore. It's a mindset change. And the same thing goes for you in your personal life. Let's bow our heads this morning. There may be someone in the room today that you say, Pastor, you're talking about expanding my capacity to love, expanding my relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, I've just been living my life for me. I haven't been living my life for Him. God's not answering my prayers because my prayers are all about me. My prayers aren't about Jesus. They aren't about Him. They're not praying according to His will. It's praying according to my will. If that's you this morning, you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ, before we pray for capacity, before we pray for anything else, I want to ask if there's anybody today that needs to give their heart to Jesus Christ. You need to ask Him to forgive you of your sins. If that's you this morning, I want you just to slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. I don't want to embarrass you. Okay. Here's the next thing I want you to do. I want everybody to put their hands over their hearts this morning. Before we take up offering, I want us to pray. And I want to pray for you. And you can pray in your own way. You can pray. But I want to pray for you today. And I want to pray that God would help you to expand your capacity. And I want to ask today, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to our hearts today about what that means for us. For some of us, it may need an attitude change. For some of us, God, it may be an area of generosity. For some of us, it may be an area of servanthood. For some of us, God, we need to expand our capacity. May mean for us that we need to expand our love for you. Maybe it is we need to raise up other people around us. We need to learn to disciple. God, even from this church, I pray that you would help us to expand our capacity, expand our influence and our leadership. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts today on what area we need to expand. And then, God, I just pray right now, supernaturally, that you would begin to do that in us today. Begin to work that into our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.